Judges chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. And the Bible says, "So Gideon and his army got up early, went as far as the spring of Herod. The armies of Midian were camped north of them in the valley near the hill of Moreh. The Lord said to Gideon, 'You have too many warriors with you. If I let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength. Therefore, tell the people, whoever is timid or afraid may leave this mountain and go home.' Well, 22,000 of them went home, leaving only 10,000 who were willing to fight. But the Lord told Gideon, 'There are still too many. Bring them down to the spring and I will test them to determine who will go with you. You will not.' When Gideon took his warriors down to the water, the Lord told him, 'Divide the men into two groups. And one group put all those who cup the water in their hands and lap it up with their tongues like a dog. And the other group put all those who kneel down to drink with their mouths in the stream. And only 300 men drank from their hands. All the others got down on their knees and drank with their mouths in the stream.' The Lord told Gideon, 'With these 300 men, I will rescue you.'" Notice what God says here. "With these 300 men, I will rescue you, give you victory over the Midianites, send all the others home." So Gideon collected the provisions and the ram's horn of the warriors and sent them home. But he kept the 300 men with him. I want to preach to you on this title this morning. Last week's title was "Stronger Than You Think." This week it's "Stronger Than You Look." You're stronger than you look. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you help me to preach this word. Bless this time together. And help us to realize, Lord, that we live by faith and not by sight. And though things may look bad and look like it's never going to happen for us or look impossible, Father, looks can be deceiving. So I pray today that you would speak to anyone here who's in a battle bigger than what they can handle. Give us strength, wisdom, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You guys may be seated as we go into this word this morning. Stronger than you look. We touched on last week that Gideon, he was having a very difficult life. Let me explain the context before we continue. This was a time that the Israelites were experiencing 7 years of bondage to this enemy known as the Midianites. The Midianites would ravage the land as every harvest, when it was time to gather the grain for food, the Midianites, 135,000 of them, would come and invade, destroy everything, take everything. The Bible says that the Israelites were reduced to starvation. We learned last week that this is a tactic used even today. If you control the food, you control the people. So the enemy had control over the Israelites for 7 years until they cried out to God finally to be rescued. And God would call on this man named Gideon, who was a nobody. He was up on the mountaintop, hiding from the enemy. He was afraid of the enemy, and yet God visited him and told him, "You are a mighty warrior." Now, Gideon did not look like a warrior. He did not act like a warrior. He never identified as a warrior. In fact, he disagreed with God, and he reminded God that he was the least of the least, the weakest of the weak. He came from the smallest of tribes. He was a nobody, and God was like, "Exactly. That's why I want to use you." So last week, we really touched on this subject that you are stronger than you think, because sometimes the enemy wants to still have control over your life by giving you a mindset of weakness. But we understood that with God, all things are possible. And God wants you to see yourself for how He sees you, more than a conqueror. Can I get an amen there? God sees more than you think. But now we're going to touch on the subject: God sees more than you look. You are stronger than you look. Gideon now accepts the call of God on his life. He says, okay, God, I'm going to trust you, and we're going to go and fight this enemy. So Gideon calls all the men together. And when all the men got together, they were not a lot. In fact, there were only 32,000 men that got together. They were not 32,000 strong. They were 32,000 weak. Because they were facing the Midianites who had 135,000 men. So see, Gideon now realizes that God is asking him to fight an enemy that's bigger than he is. That the people are 135,000 strong and all I have is 32,000 men. So Gideon is facing not only a mighty army mightier than him and his men, but the odds are against him. In fact, in verse 1, if we read it, what I find so interesting is that the Bible says that Gideon and his army got up early and they went as far to the spring of Haran. Now here's what's fascinating about this place, Haran. Haran in the Hebrew literally means to be afraid. It means to be timid, fearful, and tremble. So literally, what happened is that Gideon got all his men together at Haran, which means fear, and Gideon finds himself in a place of fear, in a place of trembling, in a place where he finds out he does not have the strength nor the numbers to defeat the enemy. He's in a place of fear facing something bigger than he is. He's in a place of fear realizing that this place that the odds are against him. And it's in this place of fear where the odds are against him that God is challenging him to trust him. God is telling him, you're going to have the victory. Even though the numbers are greater than you. Even though the odds are against you. Even though what you're facing you cannot handle on your own strength. Gideon, if you just trust me, if you just lean on me, you're going to see that the victory is going to be yours. You see, folks, I'm here to tell you this morning, like Gideon, we're going to find ourselves in a place of fear. We're going to find ourselves in a place of weakness. You're going to find yourself not only in a place of fear, but it's in that place of fear you're going to realize that what you're up against in this life and in this world is greater than you. And all of us are going to have these moments in our lives where the odds are against you. But it's in these moments of fear, these places of fear, where you're realizing, I can't handle this. I don't have the strength for this. I don't have the answer for this. I don't have the wisdom for this. I don't have the capability for this. I can't handle this, Lord. It's in that place where God says, you need to trust me. It's in this place you need to trust in the Word of God. It's in this place where you realize that God can give you victory over the greatest of enemies. It's in this place where you realize you are going to be more than a conqueror in Jesus' name. It is in this place of fear that you realize that God is able to do far more than we ever think to ask or even imagine. It's in this place that God says you are going to do the impossible. It is in this place that you're going to realize how powerful your God is. So if you find yourself like Gideon in Haran, a place of fear where you're up against a mighty enemy, something greater than your ability, God has purposely done it that way to show you His glory. You see, today we live in a world where the odds are against us. And it feels like maybe the odds are against you this morning. There are some difficult odds out there. Started thinking about this. What are the odds that you make it out of this world okay? What are the odds that your problems get fixed? Some of you are facing odds right now that are against you. There are some difficult odds. And there are some weird odds. Did you know 1 in 5 million people get bit by sharks? Did you know your pastor beat the odds? I felt amazed. I went, wow, I beat the odds. Did you know that there's a 1 in 10,000th of a chance that you get struck by lightning? Did you know that there's 1 in 205,000th of a chance that you crash in a plane and die? Did you know that there's 1 in 10,000th of a chance you get seriously injured by a plane? Weird off. I never thought about that, but you know, 1 in 10,000 people get seriously injured by poison. But the odds are, the odds are, this is not what's keeping you up at night. I doubt that this morning, as you walked outside to go to church, you were afraid of lightning. I doubt that as you went pee-pee this morning, you were afraid that you would end up hospitalized, because you will be the 1 in 10,000 to get injured by poison. Let me give you some relatable odds that are very, very relatable here. 1 in 2 people will get cancer. By the end of this year, 4%, that's 7.2 million. People in America will lose their job. 31% of people stay single for life. And if you happen to be the lucky one that gets married, 50% of marriages end in divorce. 70% if that's your second marriage. 2 out of 200 people lose their homes every day in America. 1 in 10 people actually lose the weight they need to lose. Think about it. And 1 in 8 people do not have the capability to retire. 70% of kids after the age of 16 want nothing to do with God. Chances are what I just read are some of the odds that do put fear in you. That do put anxiety on you. That maybe do keep you up at night. See, a lot of us are going to face these odds that scare us. Now, I'm not here to tell you there's a good chance you're going to be unemployed, divorced, single forever, fat, homeless, or cancer. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that even when the odds are against you, God is for you. Even when the odds are against you, God still says, don't be afraid. And even when the odds are against you, God still says, do not be anxious about anything. And even when the odds are against you, God says He will make a way for you. So even when you face these impossible odds, like Gideon, the Lord still calls on us to trust Him and believe that you are more than a conqueror. So I know we live in a world where the odds are against us. And maybe you are afraid of the odds that you're faced with. But this is where you are going to be challenged and called by God to trust in Him and His Word and His power to lead you. In fact, this is what Jesus told the disciples. The disciples were men that faced impossible odds. There were a handful of men, 12 minus 1, 11 of them, that were called by God to preach the gospel to the world. The odds of 11 men, this group of men preaching the gospel all over the world, was impossible. Especially in a time where Christianity will be persecuted and illegal. But isn't it interesting that even today, thousands of years later, we are still preaching the gospel because the odds may be against you, but God is always for you. And the gospel is still being preached like Jesus said. And this is what Jesus told his disciples when they were facing these impossible odds in John 16:33. The Bible says that I have told you all of these things that you may have peace in me. Notice what Jesus said. Because Jesus just told the disciples, I'm going away. The disciples were afraid, discouraged. They were confused, uncertain of their future. Maybe like you are right now. But Jesus looked at these men and said, I told you this, that you may have peace in me. Your peace is not in money. Your peace is not in the government. Your peace is not in people. Your peace can only come through Jesus Christ. And he looks at these men that are facing these impossible odds, and he says, you may have peace in me. Here on earth, Jesus said, you will have many trials. Jesus is not in denial of the trials you will face in this life. Jesus is not saying your life is easy, you're just a wimp. No, Jesus is literally saying in this life, you will have many, many trials. He's saying life is not going to be easy. Life is going to be difficult. You're going to face things that are beyond your ability. There are things you're going to face that are going to be very difficult for you to handle. In this life, you will have many trials. You will have many sorrows. But he said, take heart, be courageous. Because I have overcome the world. Jesus says, I've overcome. The word overcome literally means to have victory over that in battle. Jesus says, you're going to battle these things in life. And some of you are. Some of you are battling cancer, battling financial problems, battling with people. But see, Jesus says, take heart, have peace, take courage, because I have overcome the world. And when you lean on me and trust in me, not only will I give you peace, but you can have the peace knowing that I am in control. You're going to face many trials. You're going to have many problems. Jesus says you can have peace when you trust him. Let me explain to you what this looks like. Blue color pencils. This is literally taken from my desk. I haven't touched it. This is how it looks. Why? Well, I'm obsessed with colored pencils. I don't know if you guys knew that. I love them. I use them to highlight my Bibles. If you are a believer that highlights Bibles with Bible highlighters, you're a sucker. Whoever invented Bible highlighters, I don't even think they're truly good. It's a scam. It's expensive. It's overpriced. You're being taken for a fool. You know what's better than a Bible highlighter? A cheap, go to Walmart, $2 Crayola colored pencil. It will not see through. You have all these colors to choose from, and I guarantee you will be satisfied and safe. I love colored pencils. My notes are all colored. It's how I go by. I can barely read my letters, but as long as I know the color, I know the topic and the term and the verse and everything. But here's my biggest problem. My jar's too little to contain all the colored pencils I have. And every day when I study and I go to reach my colored pencils, it's a struggle. And when I go to reach the colors I need, I have to fight with it. And there's so much pressure and everything. And I'm pulling my colored pencils, it becomes messy. So by the time my study is over, my desk literally looks like this. It's just a mess. And guess who nags me to death? I can say that because she's not here. You're telling me. No, don't tell me. But Jericho always tells me, why is your death so messy? And I said, it's not my fault. She said, yes, it is. You need to get a bigger God. And finally, this week, I've had enough of the mess. So all I did was get this very jar. Got a bigger jar. And I moved it over here. Wouldn't you know, instantly, the stress was gone. Instantly, it wasn't as messy. It was more orderly, organized. All because I put it in a bigger jar. You want to know why you don't have peace in your life? Because you have bought into this lie that you will have peace if you have less money. And if you're old enough to know this, you'll know that you'll have problems your entire life. But everyone still seems to be convinced, if I have less problems, I'll have more peace. That's like saying, if I have less pencil, then things will be better. But that is not what God tells us to do to have peace. See, God says it's not that you need less problems. What you need is to put it in a bigger God. So imagine that all of your problems represent these pencils. Imagine that right now this is your little mind. And the reason you're stressed and anxious and worried and discouraged and depressed and overwhelmed and have no joy and have no peace and you're not even fun to be around with is because you have managed to get all your problems to fit your mind and figure out, how am I going to do it? How am I going to fix it? How am I going to solve this? What am I going to do? But see, you and I were never designed to handle the stress and the problems of this world. You know what God says? Put it in me. In me, you have peace. Why? Well, naturally, because it's bigger and able to contain it all. The Bible says that God holds all things together. The Bible says to cast all your anxieties on Him. The Bible says that you will have peace in Him. And the reason so many people in the church have no peace is because you have managed to convince yourself that it all falls on you, but you do not have the capability to handle life. So you put it on God. He's able to hold everything. You don't need less problems. You just need to see God for who He is. He's bigger than your problems. He's bigger than what you're going through. He's bigger than what you're facing. In fact, your view of God needs to change. The reason you have so much stress is because you have belittled God and magnified your problems. But God is bigger than anything you are facing right now. In fact, when you really see God, I want you to see this. Because how many of you will question that I'm able to put all these pencils in this jar? No one. Why? Because what you see is that this jar can handle it. This jar is bigger. This jar was made for this. So if I would put all my pencil problems in this jar, it wouldn't even shock you to realize, wow, it can hold. Not only can it hold what it couldn't contain here, it can handle more. And then some. See, when you look at God, do you see a little tiny jar that's pathetic and weak? No. I pray that when you view God, you see that He can handle what you can't. He is bigger than what's bigger than you. Nothing goes beyond Him. That's why Jesus says, you will have peace in me. Peace doesn't come because You take problems away. Peace can only come when you choose to put your pencil problems. Think about what it is right now. Family, job, money, stress, health. But when you put this in a bigger God, your mind is left whole. I wonder how many of you truly have a mindset that says, I can't handle this, nor was I ever made to. But I'm glad I have a God that says, come to me, all of you who are weary and tired and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'm glad there's a God that says, I've overcome the world and I'll give you peace. Come on, can we give God some praise this morning? Who says, I never put you on this earth to handle everything. The solution is not less problems, but more faith in the bigger God you claim to love and serve. In fact, that's what Gideon is about to learn and what God is trying to teach you. Let's read verse 2 through 7 one more time. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many warriors with you. Now let's think about this. Gideon has 32,000 against 135,000. Many of us would say, Lord, I don't think you can count on it. Lord, I don't think you're seeing things right. Lord, I don't think you understand what I'm up against. I do not have too many men. If anything, God, I don't have enough. Because that's some of our attitude. We're telling God what we don't have. And God shocks Gideon and says, hey, by the way, 32,000. Imagine 32,000 against 135. Gideon was in a place of fear. What am I going to do? 32,000 people. I'm grateful, but it's not enough. We're not going to make it. We're going to die. 135,000 against 32,000. Those are odds. I am not going to win and are not in my favor. What am I going to do? And Gideon calls God. And I imagine that Gideon's probably thinking, oh, here comes God. God's going to come through. God, you're going to bring me more men, right? He says, no. You have too many. Oh, wait, I thought I heard God. Did you say I have too many? No, I don't have enough. No, you have too many. Verse 3, therefore, tell the people, whoever is timid or afraid, weak or afraid, may leave this mountain and go home. Gideon goes up to the men. Okay, men, I have an announcement. Yes. If anyone is afraid or discouraged or weak right now, you can go home. No questions asked. 22,000 men left. 22,000 men left. 10,000 men. The Lord told Gideon, there are still too many. Bring them down to the spring and I will test them to determine who will go with them. Long story short, by verse 7, we realize that Gideon is left with 300 men. See, God's response to Gideon's problem, God says, let's increase the odds against you. Let's make it really impossible. So I'm going to take away these people from your life. I'm going to take everything you're leaning on, everything you're trusting on. I'm going to take it all away so that you're left with practically nothing, 300. See, when I read this, I realized, okay, Gideon said, anyone who's scared, you can go home. 22,000 men left. But I'm okay with that. Why? Because, well, they were worthless anyway. They're afraid and timid. I don't want those type of men fighting with me. I understand those 22,000. I wouldn't mind losing 22,000 losers. Let's be honest. But 10,000 men who were warriors, the Bible said, who are trained in battle, who are like fighting ready. These were the men that Gideon said, well, at least I got the good guy. At least I got these men. And God took them away. See, here's what we have to understand about God. Sometimes we trust on people too much. If you ever, I don't know what I'd do without this person, God's going to say, well, let's see. I can't live without them. Well, we'll find out. See, some of us understand people that just walked out on us. They're in the group of 22,000. You might say, well, it doesn't matter. I didn't need them anyway. Fine, but what about the 10,000? What do you do when God takes away people you did need? You did trust. You did want. You did love. Gideon saw 22,000 leave and then another 10,000 leave. You realize in one day Gideon had 31,700 people leave him. And we cry over one that left us years ago. One we thought we needed. One we couldn't leave without. But you know what I love about this passage? Gideon trusted God. Verse 7. God really challenged Gideon. The Lord said to Gideon, I will deliver you with 300 men who laughed and will give the Midianites into your hand. So let all the other people what? Go. You know what God told Gideon? These people are not going to walk away from you, but you don't need them. You're going to have to go up to them and say, you need to go. I wonder how many people right now the Holy Spirit's stabbing you saying, he's preaching to you. There are some people you want to keep in your life that God says has no business being in your life. And you need to let them go. You need to let them go. But I love him. But I need her. But I can't do it without them. But they're my strength. You don't need people when you have God. Let them go. Let that sink in for me. Well, but if I let them go, who's going to pay my rent? But if I let them go, I'm going to be alone on the weekend. If I let them go, I'm going to be alone forever. But what if you let them go and see God do something mighty in your life? What if you let them go and see God do a miracle? What if you let them go because you don't realize there are certain people in your life that are stopping you from seeing what God has next to you? Gideon went up. These buff-looking, Darius-type guys. These guys that look like Kevin and Darius there with their armor. He says, guys, I'm sorry. It's not me, it's you. You gotta go. And the men picked up their bags, their weapons. And Gideon saw them walk away. And Gideon said, man, I really needed him. That guy had skills. That guy. He looks back and he sees 300. That's why when people go, you let them go. And sometimes you need some courage to say, why is God doing this? He lost 31,700 men in one day. I could only imagine how many great people in your life you've lost. But even though the mightiest of people leave in your life, God, who is mightier, will always remain. Look at verse 2. God gives him a reason. God foresees the problem. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many warriors with you. If I let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength. You know what God says? If these men, if all these 31,700 men go into battle and defeat the 135,000, these men are going to become proud and arrogant and boastful, and they're going to get the glory for themselves. They're going to say, we did this because we're strong. We did this because we're brave. We did this because we're wise. We did this because we had it in us all along. But I'm going to make it so impossible so that when you get the victory, the glory can only go to God. The victory can only be to the Lord. So when you come out of what you're coming out of, you're not going to say it was me, it was my pastor, it was my church, it was my this, it was my that, it was this person. No, you're going to look back and see the only reason you had the victory and overcame what you overcame was because the glory goes. Come on, give him house and praise this morning. See, God does not want you relying on your own strength. God does not want you saying, I got this. So God is going to increase the odds against you so you will recognize his authority over everything around you. You see, when we avoid situations where the odds are against us, we rob God of opportunities to do supernatural things. So God makes it impossible on purpose. So he will get the glory. You know, last week, as I said, was one of the hardest days of my life and the best days of my life. The birth of my daughter, but the near death of my wife. Jericho, whom we love. And as I prayed, I said, Lord, I can't do this. And I need you. The doctor was able, who happens to be a believer, told me, we found you. And I asked, how did you do it? She looked around so no other doctor heard her. She said, I prayed. Said, Lord, give me this. And show me what this is. The doctor said, because David, Jericho is one of my favorite patients. And I love her. I'm like, what about me? No. And I was praying to God, show me. And he did. And when I thanked her and I said, thank you for saving my wife. She looked around again and said, it wasn't you. It was God. And I talked to a doctor friend of mine this week. He told me, Dave, I don't think you realize this. But what Jericho went through has less of a 4% chance of surviving. So I realized that day, on purpose, God put the odds against us so that he would get the glory. Come on. He would get the glory. Don't rob God of the supernatural. Whenever you're facing odds that are against you, maybe God is trying to show you who he is. The God who's bigger than what you face. You see, verse 9 and 15, the Bible says that Gideon collected all the provisions. He got all the 300 men together. The Bible says, that night the Lord said, get up and go down to the Midianite camp, for I've given you victory over them. But if you're afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant, Phurah. Let's pause right there for a minute. God is not an insensitive God. He tells Gideon to get up. He doesn't say wake up, which leads us to believe that Gideon was having a sleepless night. Come on, you know those sleepless nights that all you're plagued with is all your pencils? All your problems? What am I going to do? What if? How am I going to get out of this? God tells him, get up if you're afraid. See, God sees in Gideon, he's afraid. We got to stop pretending that because you believe in God, you're never going to have fear. You're going to have fear. That's why I look up to men like Donnie, who's back here. When I visited him in the hospital, I asked him point blank, are you afraid? He said, yeah. And I admire that mentality. Because you don't say, oh, I'm a Christian. I'm never afraid. I got this. I'm confident. No, sometimes we're afraid. We're afraid of the future. We're afraid of what's going to happen. We're afraid if I can't fix this. What if I can't handle it? We're afraid. We're afraid. And God sees. Because if you're afraid to attack and go down to the camp, get your servant. Listen to what the Midianites are saying, and you will be greatly encouraged, and you will be eager to attack. So Gideon took Phurah and went down to the camp. What does that mean? Gideon was what? Afraid. Gideon took Phurah and went down to the edge of the enemy camp, the armies of the Midian, the people on the east, and settled there in the valley. And he went to the camp. Verse 13, let me skip over there. Gideon creeped up just as the man was telling his companion about a dream he had. The man said, I had this dream. In my dream, there was a loaf of barley bread came tumbling down into the Midianite camp. It hit a tent and it turned it over and knocked it flat. And his companion answered, your dream can mean only one thing. God has given Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite victory for the Midianites. And all his enemies. When Gideon heard this dream and his interpretation, he bowed down and worshiped before the Lord. Then returned to the Israelite camp and shouted, get up, for the Lord has given us victory over the enemy. Gideon was afraid, so Gideon went up to the enemy camp. But notice how in control God is. God not only understood that Gideon was afraid, but he said, Gideon, if you're afraid of the enemy, you should see how afraid the enemy is of you. Why is that so important? Because it's a picture of the devil. If we're so afraid of the devil, you should realize how afraid the devil is of you and who you are. And Gideon goes down to the camp, but God is so sovereign that what are the odds out of 135,000 men in the camp, Gideon would stumble upon the one tent that had the one man who had the one dream that gave him the prophecy of him having victory over the battle. That's how much control God has over your life. He's leading you to the right place at the right time with the right person. He's putting it all together so you would understand that in the Lord, the odds are never against you. Gideon understood. This man had a dream of a barley loaf coming down a hill, destroying a tent. Why is it so significant? Because in the Bible, a loaf of barley was what the poorest of poor ate. It's the ramen noodles of the Bible, you might say. It's one of those meals that you know you're eating because you can't afford the good stuff. And people that ate barley were the weakest of the weak, the poorest of the poor. So you know what God is telling Gideon? You're that barley. You are the weakest of the weak. You are the poorest of the poor. You do not have the strength to do what you're doing. You don't have the capability to do what I'm asking of you. This is what we really need to realize about ourselves. We are the barley loaf. We cannot handle what God is telling us to handle. But that little, pathetic, poor, weak barley loaf did the impossible. It stumbled over and hit a tent, and the entire tent collapsed. What God is telling Gideon, you're going to do the impossible because I'm with you. You are the weakest. You're right. When you say, I can't do this, you're right. But see, Gideon, what you don't realize is with me, all things possible. And God was telling Gideon, you're going to do the impossible. You guys are seeing this. So Gideon gets victory. He says, okay, we got this. He's encouraged. He gets all 300 men. And he said, let's go now. The time is now. We're going to go and fight till all these 300 men got together. And I want to close with this phenomenal verse in part two of our series. You're stronger than you are. 300 men against 135,000 looks weak. But they knew that with the Lord, they were strong. Here's the biggest lie man has believed. Their strength. The truth is, there's only strength in God. That's why you can look at a little church like this and it makes the devil tremble. You can look at a little church like this and you say, God's hand. Don't ever let the numbers fool you. We may not be 10,000, 20,000 mega church strong, but I'm telling you, if we are 40 God-fearing men and women in a little church in Hialeah, we are mightier than the mightiest churches because God is with us. We are the barley loaf. I should have preached it my first year starting this church. We would have been called a barley loaf fellowship. Would have loved it a lot more. Why? Because we are weak. Come on, look at you. Look at me. We're weak. We're pathetic. We're sinners. We're hopeless. We're the poorest of poor. And God says, I know that. That's why I like that. Because when I'm done with you, you're going to see that with me you can do the impossible and overcome the greatest of odds. What are the odds you come out of this alive? What are the odds you break your addiction? What are the odds your family members get saved? What are the odds you get healed? What are the odds? I don't know what the odds are, but with God, the odds are great. Next week, we're going to find out how Gideon defeats the odds. But I'm telling you right now, greater is that is in you than he that is to make a long story short, it's the longest story in Judges. Next week we'll find out how Gideon overcame the song. Because he does. I want to tell you this one. If the odds are against you, God is for you. Come on, when you receive this message, give him praise this morning. Say, God, I'm with you. Let's all stand to our feet and take communion this morning. Romans 8:31-32. This is the verse I want to tie in to communion today. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, say that with me. If God is for us, who can be against us? Since he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? One of the ways that God proved that he is for you was with what you are holding right now. The body of Christ and the blood of Christ. If you have any doubt if God is for you, look at the cross. Where Jesus, being sinless, died for your sins. Conquered death. And gave us hope of eternal life. So you all can have a seat for a moment right now if you've already collected your bread. But as we pray this morning, Jesus said, you do this in remembrance of me. Communion is a time where we remember the sacrifice of Jesus. And one of those things we have to remember as we remember the sacrifice of Jesus is he not only did it because he loved us, he not only did it because we were sinners, but he did it because he was for you. And if God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for you, the Bible says, how much more will God do? That's why we have nothing to fear. So as we remember the sacrifice that Jesus made, and as you pray it to yourself right now, I want you to tell the Lord right now, thank you, Lord, for being for me and not against me. But would you tell the Lord right now what is against you? Maybe it's personal sin in your life. Maybe it's problems you can't fix. But if you're weak, discouraged this morning, depressed, remember the cross. As you take a moment with the Lord right now, just take a moment. Be honest with him. As Gideon was honest with the Lord, I'm afraid. You tell the Lord right now. And Father, I pray that you receive every prayer that's being uttered to your ears. Father, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for your death and your resurrection, who have brought us life for all eternity. Father, I thank you that in you, in faith, we have salvation and forgiveness of our sins. And you tell us to remember this through communion so that we never take it for granted. You died on the cross. You loved us and were for us. Forgive us, Lord, when we feel that you're against us in life and life. Forgive us for believing the lie that you're against us and things don't go the way we thought. And let the cross be a reminder to us all. You will always be for us the proof is in your Son, Jesus. And you gave. Father, I pray that you would forgive us for our sins. Forgive us for our backsliding ways. Forgive us, Lord, for living in the flesh. And I pray that you would renew our minds to serve you, to worship you, to live a sacrificial life to honor you. Father, even when the odds are against us and we're in a place of your sacrifice on the cross reminds us that we are more than conquerors. For you conquered death, rose, and the Spirit that raised you from the dead, your word says, lives inside us. So, Father, in you, though the odds be against, victory within us. We thank you and we love you, Jesus. And on that night, Jesus took the bread. And he says, this bread is a symbol of my body. given to you, the living sacrifice. And in remembrance of Jesus and his body that he gave for us on the cross, we now take it. Jesus then took the cup. He said, "This cup, the symbol of my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. This cup will always be a reminder that your sins are forgiven, both past, present, and future. And in remembrance of your blood, Jesus, and the forgiveness of our sins through you and only you, we now take of this. All stand for our feet. With every head bowed, every eye closed, we thank you all for joining us today. And I pray that you were blessed by this word today. But I just want to pray one last time for anyone here today that's facing the odds. And like Gideon, you might be afraid, discouraged, lonely. I pray that today you will realize that God has something great for your life. You just have to surrender to Him. So take all the pencils that are in your mind right now and put it on Him. But you will have peace. If this is you this morning, I'm saying, "Pastor, this is me. The odds are against me. I feel overwhelmed. And the battle that I'm fighting is greater than what I can handle." If that's you, would you put that? It's an honest hand. Put it up in the air right now. "Pastor, this is me." God bless you all around the room today. All around the room. It's okay to say, "God, I'm weak." Remember, all of us are fallen. We're weak. Would you surrender that thing to God right now? Whatever it is. Say, "Lord, I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know where. But Lord, this is my pencil. It scares me, keeps me up at night, makes me feel discouraged and anxious. But you are greater than this." Tell the Lord right now, "You are greater than Philippians. And in you, Lord, I put my trust." Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you carry all and hold everything together. And may it be, Lord, that today we experience peace like we've never felt, knowing that you are above all things. And Father, you are greater than the greatest of problems in our lives. And Father, through you and your sacrifice, we understand now that you are for us, not against us. So in this world, we will have many trials and many problems, Lord, but we have overcome the world through you, Jesus. So I pray that the peace that surpasses all understanding in Jesus' name will guard your heart and minds as you leave this place this morning. And may the Lord keep you and may His face shine upon you as you recognize that He is for you always, both now and forever. In Jesus' name, God's church said, amen. Come on, give God some praise this morning. You guys can have a seat where you're at for a moment. I want to thank you all for joining us today.